Come and sit up nice and tall. Close the eyes if it's comfortable. Lengthen the spine. Try to find a tiny little arch in your lower back. Try to match the inhale to the exhale. Equal in length, equal in strength. Find a rhythm that's comfortable for you, or a length or a duration that's comfortable for you. Then just as you're sitting, move your position in a way to try to find the deepest or fullest breath. Right? That might be lifting up, that might be softening down, it might be leaning forward, might be leaning backwards, right? So just as you're breathing, matching the inhale to the exhale, try to find a place of full breath. And wherever you end up, where you feel the breath is fullest, now make the inhales last longer and the exhales last longer. And that's up to you how long, but you know, for me, if you have good spinal alignment, you get a lot of access to the lungs, you can inhale for a really long time and exhale for an equally long time. Now take your longest inhale and longest exhale, but again, with no extra effort. Just how long can you inhale for? How long can you exhale for with no struggle? Then let the breath return to neutral. Easy in, easy out. Come onto your hands and knees. Put a blanket under the knees if that feels good. No reason not to put a blanket under the knees, but you feel free not to if you'd rather not. And make your legs basically parallel to one another with a few inches between. Wrists underneath the shoulders, knees underneath the hips. Make the middle fingers parallel. Then don't spread the pinky finger too wide. You're going to keep the pinky finger in line with the outer, keep going, in line with the outer edge of the palm. And don't spread the thumb too wide. And do cat and cow. So arch the back, lift the chest to look up, and round to look down. Everyone's going to point the feet, and point the feet very straight so that there's no sickle in the foot, and the heels point straight up. Spread the toes open. Spread the fingers. Keep weight evenly distributed through the hand and foot, but I'd say put a little more emphasis on the inner hand and foot. Try to match the breath to cat and cow. Exhale and cat go really well together. You could do the opposite as well. A couple of rounds like this. Back to neutral. Depending upon where you are on your mat, walk your hands forward or your feet back. They're probably about 6 inches wider, further apart from each other. You can move the blanket off to the side as well. So you're going to get the legs and arms further apart, and we'll adjust it more. Tuck your toes, lift your hips, come to downward facing dog. Nice. Again, pinky fingers not too wide, middle fingers parallel. Breathe easy. Reach your hips way up to the ceiling. Press the hands forward through the inner hand. Reach the heels backwards through the inner heel. If the heels reach the floor, walk your feet back further. Come forward to plank pose. Shoulders on top of the wrists, inner foot grounded. So find the inner hand, find the inner foot, pinkies in line with the outer edge of the palm. Inner thighs up a little bit, belly strong, pull back, downward facing dog. Bend the knees about 2 or 3 inches. Stick your butt out and try to find an arch in the lower back. If you can find that or feel that, stretch the legs again and try to keep that or feel if you can't. All right? There's information to be gotten from what you can't do as much as from what you can. Back to hands and knees. Back to hands and knees. And now keep your hands and feet, hands and arms and legs same distance apart. So you're going to come back to down dog, but don't go yet. Try to find a tiny little arch in your lower back and solid spine so that it's not always such an easy thing to feel, but you want to come back to downward dog with the exact same trunk you have now. And then when we come back to hands and knees, you want the same trunk. So in other words, no adjustments if you can help it. Tuck your toes, solidify your trunk, straighten legs, downward facing dog. And then you want to feel, so just some people lose that arch. They lose the curve in the lower back immediately. Feel what's going on with you. Come back to your hands and knees and try to find your way back so that when you get to your hands and knees, you're in the exact same place you started and there's no need for adjustment. Same thing, tuck the toes back to downward facing dog. Pedal the legs. You're going to bend the right knee and stretch the left leg straighter, but don't push into the back of the knee. Switch legs. So the bending knee lines up with the ankle. The knee stays over the ankle and the stretching leg doesn't hyperextend. Keep going. Switch sides. Do this a few times and try to feel, can you go straight down through the leg without hyperextending? And the bending knee can actually move to the midline a tiny bit. Tiny, tiny. Stretch both legs straight again. Slowly, take your time if you'd like, walk your feet forward towards your hands. Small little steps. Eventually, you might run out of space and have to walk your hands back towards your feet. That's fine as well. Try to get to your legs straight, arms straight, wherever you're at. Spine hangs over the legs. Oh, great. Everyone looks pretty good. You want to feel where your pelvis is at. So like if your pelvis is level, you don't want your pelvis to be level. Bend your knees if you need to and get the hips to turn down. And if you want, bend your knees. Not everyone needs to do that, but everyone bend the knees and feel how much further you can go into a forward bend when you release the super straight leg. Pull the belly in, let the head release. Find the inner foot, keep the knee over the ankle, start straightening the legs again. And if your pelvis is one that tilts up, don't straighten the legs too much. Bring your feet a little closer together. One more time, bend the knees, release the hips, spine falls further. Use the belly and the core to support the release of head and neck. And feel your spine, feel your pelvis, and straighten the legs again. Don't over-straighten them. Don't push into the backs of the knees. Slowly soften the knees. Roll up to stand. Roll through the spine. Stand at the front of the mat. Feet parallel. Thighs back. Groins deep. Take the thighs back, which might be an odd feeling, but I think that everyone tends to sink their thighs forward, and you're going to move your legs way back. You're not going to believe me when we get there. Right there. And then just lift your chin. Right there. That is really good posture. Legs back. So if you have a stripe in your pants, it wants to be perpendicular. And then sometimes that overarches the lower back, so you have to figure out how to drop the front ribs. Push, yeah. Lengthen the back of the neck, like if you had a ponytail and I was just going to pull up on the ponytail, I think the front of the body should soften when you lengthen the back of the neck. And that seems a little counterintuitive. Pull the head up off the top of the spine. Keep the inner thighs going backwards. Ideally, the inner thighs going backwards drops you more into your inner foot. Knees over the ankles. Inhale the arms up. Bow forward over the legs. Soften the knees if you need to. Step the right foot back to a long lunge. Step the left foot back to downward facing dog. Pinky fingers move in line with the outer edge of the palm if they're wider. Hips way up, heels way back. Step your right foot to the outside of your right hand. Try to get it all the way forward, and then so that the foot is right alongside the hand and the knee is right alongside the arm. Now, lift your hips up so that the pelvis is at the height of the front knee. Press the right knee into the arm and press the arm out against the right knee. So you're going to use that. Hips up and pull to the left a little bit. Bend this a little bit more. And then you're going to really connect that. This pushes out, this pushes in. Step back, downward facing dog. Step the left foot to the outside of the left hand. Press the left knee against the left arm. Lift the hips and pull the hips to the right. And as you pull the hips to the right, if you are tight in the hips, the left knee is going to want to pull out to the left, and you want to prevent that. You want to really keep that in as you pull the hips to the right. Downward facing dog. Take the right leg up behind you halfway, down dog split. Don't lift the hip. Try not to let the right leg move wide of the right hip. You guys look good. Turn the hip down, straighten the left leg a lot. Don't reach the left heel towards the floor without pushing the left calf back. Take the right leg higher without lifting the hip, and step the right foot to the outside of the right hand again. So you might be very happy here with the arm straight and the knee pressing against the arm and the hips lifting and pulling to the left. If you want to go deeper here, you start moving your forearms towards blocks or towards the floor. But for me, the key is that the right foot has to stay in exactly the same way it stays with the arm straight. So deeper here puts more pressure on keeping the hips in square. If you want to come down to the forearms, that's fine, but keep the inner foot, some more inner foot. Jeremy, push that inner foot on the front leg and push the knee into the arm to make that happen. Yeah. Lengthen the spine forward. Pull the hips to the left. Downward dog. Left leg up halfway. That was impressive. Drop the hip. The tendency is to lift the left hip too much to get the leg up. Reach the right heel towards the floor or towards the back of the room without hyperextending the knee. That looks great. Take the left leg higher if you can. And where is that going to come from? Hopefully from the inner thigh, the inner leg. Step the left foot to the outside of the left hand again. You're going to do the same thing you did on the first side. Even if this side is way open and available and you could go deeper where you couldn't do it on the first, that can be really counterproductive. Left knee against the arm, lift the hips, square off to the right, and if you feel comfortable going lower, you use the left knee, left ankle, left foot to tell you if you've gone too far. You want to be able to stay grounded in that leg. And that's all about how the ball at the top of the leg rotates or fails to rotate in its socket. Downward facing dog. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Step the left foot to meet it. Inhale the arms up. Release the arms by your sides. Thighs back. Let the legs fall under the pelvis. Bend the right leg. Take the right foot in the right hand. Right foot in the right hand. Come to a wall and use a wall if you need it. Drop the right knee so the two legs are directly in line with each other. The thighs are parallel and the knee's not necessarily touching, but the thighs are touching. Bring your legs to touch if you can. Bring the left arm up. Turn the right hip and right shoulder forward. And as you start pushing the foot into the hand and pulling the right leg backwards, turn the right hip forward equally. So start pulling the right leg backwards, not sideways, just backwards. So use the inner thigh in a similar way you tried that in the down dog split. Turn the right hip and shoulder forward, pull the foot back more, take the inner thigh back, pull the belly in and up. Nice, nice shapes. And release. Second side, left leg bends. Keep the legs in line. Tendency is for the knee to go wide out to the side, right arm up. Turn the left hip and left shoulder forward. So you want to keep the trunk, the four points, the hip points and the shoulders pointing directly forward. Start pushing that left foot into the left hand and pulling the left foot with the left hand. The leg goes backwards. And it's pretty easy if you want, as the leg goes backwards, for the leg to go sideways and the hip to go back. So keep turning the hip forward. Keep dropping the knee down. It's behind the right knee. Don't lock the right knee. You guys look real. That's it. More. Soften the right knee. That's it. And release. The standing torso, thighs back, creases in your hips. Tuck your pelvis under. Go the wrong, what my thing is the wrong way. And feel how the, it kind of, you lose space where the leg meets the pelvis. It gets full or flat. Take the thighs back and feel the pocket that gets created when you stick your butt out. And to me, that pocket is just absolutely essential everywhere in yoga, but really in life. When you're standing, when you're walking, you want your creases deep, and that's going to be really supportive of your spine. Cross the right ankle over the left knee. Right ankle comes on top of the left knee. And just stand. Don't lock the left knee, so you can push the left knee against the right ankle. Turn the pelvis and the shoulders to the front. Take your left, stick your butt out a little bit. Try to get the left leg back in space so the left outer hip is over the left ankle. It's like you're going to, everyone sit into a chair a fraction and stop. Then try to straighten the leg again without letting the leg go forward. It's a weird image. The thigh stays where it is, but the leg straightens a little. And release. Get those creases deep again. And it's not so easy because sometimes what happens is when the leg crosses, you get pulled back into that and you have to figure out how to get that crease. And the knee, bending the knee always helps that. Left ankle over right knee. You don't want to have to do that, but it's fine to do it. Just stand up straight. You're using your core to release the right knee open. Pelvis and shoulders forward. Right groin deep. So now maybe you could do it without bending the knee. Maybe it's just rotating the pelvis a little bit, but try to create space in that right groin and let the left knee fall towards the floor using the belly to support the pelvis and spine. Release. Inhale the arms up. Bow forward over the legs. Step the right foot back to a long lunge. Step the left foot to downward facing dog. Come forward to plank pose. Slowly or quickly, lower all the way to the ground. You can put your knees down if you need to, and if you can, you just do it in one piece. Again, it's information to be gotten from what you can and can't do. Come onto your forearms, put the elbows under your shoulders, palms flat. Bend the right leg behind you, take hold of the right foot. So we're stretching the right quad again like we were doing standing. Take hold of the foot. Nice. And then don't roll to the left. Try to get back on both, even on both sides of the pelvis. Press into the forearm to lift the shoulder up and lift the chest up. So you want the elbow under. Yeah, and then it's a bit of a back bend. Use the core. Nice. And release. Switch legs. Bend the left leg. Take hold of the left foot with the left hand. So you don't have to move into a back bend. I'm going to take you deeper in a minute if you want. But if you want, the more you elevate the chest and roll a little to the left, the more intense you make everything. And release. Great. Forearm plank. Distract you from that quad thing, which we'll come back to in a minute. Tuck your toes. Tuck the toes under. So keep your knees down to start and lift your hips up. So you're going to come to like a hands and knees sort of plankish thing. All right? And then stretch your legs straight, forearm plank. That's a fine way to get to the shape. We're going to do it a couple of times, so if you need to, you can do it from there, or you'll be able. Now try to bring your ears in line with your shoulders. Tiny arch in the lower back. Lift the hips up. Better to have the hips higher rather than lower, and lower down. Watch me for a sec. A few of you guys are really close to this arm variation. That's good if you can get there. So I'm really loose, so I can get my heel to touch my butt with no effort. And that means I know that I can get my hand onto my foot, turn my fingers in the direction of the toes, and pop my elbow up. If your heel is here, like a foot away from your butt, it's just not going to happen. Can't get there. So if you can get your heel close like that and you want to, it's a wrist rotation to get your fingers, and what it does is it changes the shape and it brings it into your upper chest and your back a lot. So on the forearms, and I'm going to give you two, that is one option to go deeper, and then I will give you another option if you want as well, but it's a little early, so you'll be wary. Bend the right leg, take hold of the right foot, and just try to feel where your heel is in relation to your hip. And still, that doesn't mean you have to make that rotation. But if you want, you try to get your fingers to turn forward and the wrist to rotate and the elbow to pop up. That's exactly, you had it. And that's exactly it. Then try to pull the legs next to each other, which is a lot of work. Roll to the left a little bit. And now if you want to go deeper still, with the fingers pointing forward in the left hand, straighten the left arm and lift the left elbow off the floor, which is a lot deeper. Because that's a back bend that you need a lot of core to support. And release. Switch leg. Bend the left. Take the foot. If you turn, you do that. It's all in fun. It's a weird rotation, but once you get it, you'll never lose it. You get it. Roll a little to the left. Once you get into that wrist rotation, you got to use your core. You got to pull the belly in and really stabilize the lower spine, especially if you're going to lift the right elbow off the floor. So roll left, and if you straighten the right elbow on the left side, if you straighten the left arm on the first side, do it on this, and then release or arm plank. Palms flat, elbows under the shoulders, tuck the toes. Now, if you don't need the knees, just come straight up into the pose, but groins deep, inner thighs up, belly strong, stretch the legs straight. So push into my finger a little. Yes, now bring your ears up while you're pushing. Yeah, that's strong. And release. Child's pose. Downward facing dog. Match the inhale to the exhale. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Step the back foot in 2 or 3 inches. Feel free to use blocks for your hands. Stretch the right leg straight. Stretch the right hamstring. Try your best to straighten the right leg, turn the left hip towards the right foot, press the inner foot down, take the inner thighs back and apart, and lengthen the spine forward. Downward facing dog. Second side, step the left foot forward. Adjust the back foot in the same way and straighten the left leg. Keep squaring the hips, which usually means take the right hip towards the left foot. Inner thighs back and apart, spine forward. Downward facing dog. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Step the left foot to meet it. Inhale the arms up. Release the arms by your side. Thighs back. Cross the right ankle over the left knee. Bend the left knee, and now you're lowering halfway towards a squat. And if you can, you're going to bring the forearms onto the right shin. Fingers pointing forward, so it's sort of like your forearm plank arms. Drop your hips faster than your trunk, if that makes sense. Square your hips. So ideally, your shin is parallel to the front of the mat and to the floor. Keep turning that forward. Yeah. Right? Right shin parallel to the front of the mat and the floor if possible. Press the inner left foot down to stand up. Inner foot, come up to stand, release the leg. And second side. Left ankle crosses the right knee. And we're all lowering halfway. It's just that ideally you're going backwards through the pelvis more than forwards through the trunk. Lower down. See if you can get your forearms towards the shin. And then all of this stuff is sort of about this, you know, the way your leg and hip works is there's a bone that sits into the hip socket with a ball at its top and a cup in the hip. And how much that ball is free to move determines how level your shin is here and all the stuff I talk about. Press the inner right foot down to stand back up straight. Nice. Inhale the arms up. Bow forward over the legs. Step the right foot back, long lunge. Downward facing dog. Pigeon pose. Take the right knee to the back of the right wrist. Place the back knee down. So right knee to the back of the right wrist and try to bring the knee fairly in line with the hip. Back knee on the floor. Point the back foot and look at your back leg and make sure the back leg is in line with the outer hip. You guys look really good. Try to feel that your pelvis is level. Both sit bones are at the same height. Low or high, it doesn't matter, but they're at the same height. Walk your arms forward, bow forward over the front leg. Looking to stretch deep in the right glutes. So even if you're really open-hipped, you don't want to just sink into that right sit bone. You want to be working that right sit bone up and in. Both legs, pull both legs into the hip socket. So you guys look aligned really nicely. Now engage. Draw the arms into their sockets. Draw the legs into their sockets. Downward facing dog. So feel if you can feel the difference on the second side, because that was those were all dead on. Left knee forward, pigeon. Knee in line with the outer hip. Point the back foot, knee down, bow forward. So just try to feel the difference in the two sides, if there is any. Most likely, you want to roll to the right. Most likely, you want to roll that outer right hip down and lift the outer left hip up a little bit. That's a general instruction, but it's pretty good for everybody. Even if it takes you away from where is perfect. Downward facing dog. Pigeon first side again, right knee forward. This time you're walking your hands backwards. Bend the left leg, take hold of the left foot with the left hand. So you can do the same thing. You can take the fingers in the direction of the toes, popping the elbow up, but now you're getting into a harder angle and it's not going to be as easy as when we were down. It doesn't mean you won't get there. It's a matter of how naturally loose you are. Everyone is going to turn the left hip forward, turn the left shoulder forward, stretch that left quad, lift that right sit bone way up and over. So that should be, whoa. What's that? Oh, you put the hand on a block and that'll help you elevate. Downward facing dog. Yeah, I end up way higher with my open, I still end up way higher than that to get to that place. Second side, second time, left knee forward. Walk the hands back, bend the leg, and do your thing. And you're going to do the same thing on the first side. Keep rolling right. It's almost a guarantee that as you go to the right, you will go deeper. As you lift the left sit bone up to meet the right sit bone in terms of level, you will get more and more towards the center of that right quad, which will really let you know that you are there. Downward facing dog. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Step the left foot to meet it. Take opposite elbows. Bring your hands opposite elbows. Stay in the forward bend. Bring the arm bones alongside the ears and maybe even higher if possible. So bring the arms up towards the ceiling. Then don't lock your knees if that is your thing and start lengthening towards a flat back, leading with the arms, which should fire up your legs a whole lot more. Try to open the upper back with the lift of the arms. Pull the belly in strong. Don't lock the knees as you come up to stand that way. Ribs moving down, arms moving up. Thighs stay back. Don't let the thighs sink forward. And release the arms by your sides. Right ankle, left knee. So you can do the first thing we did, which is forearms onto the shin. Bend the left knee, lower the forearms towards the shin. And then if you can, see if you can bring your palms to the floor. So it's just going deeper, but you don't have to. You don't even have to get the forearms to the shin. You can just, this is a ton of balance if you're just standing there. If the hands get to the floor, you're going to really push the shin into the upper arm and squat deep. And then press the inner foot down to stand back up straight. Come on up. Switch sides. Left ankle, right knee. Lower to a squat. See where the hands, maybe you're just going right to the shins, forearms on the shin. See if the hands get to the floor. It's about rotation in that hip socket, amongst other things, but that's deeply related, connected. Press the inner foot down to come up to stand. And that's the piece I like the most, actually, that work to come back up. That's your glutes. Inhale the arms up. Bow forward over the legs. Step the right foot back, long lunge. Downward dog. Come onto hands and knees, put blankets under your knees, as long as you did that earlier. Then we're going to do a couple of things from here if you want, or down, or from downward dog, right? So you can stay on hands and knees or come back to down dog as we get ready to move forward. And you can stay in hands and knees in transition if you like. So either now from downward dog or hands and knees, yogi's choice, step the right foot forward in between the hands. Place the back knee down on the floor, pointing or tucking the back foot, your choice, but very straight through the ankle, any way you look at it. Bring the arms up alongside the ears. And here, you can take your front knee as far forward past the ankle as you want. No, I'm just doing that. You're going to bring it. And turn the left hip towards the right knee. Keep coming forward. Press both feet down into the ground and use that press to draw the legs into the hip sockets. Engage in. Draw the arms into the arm sockets, the shoulder sockets, even as you reach up. Step back. Hands and knees are downward dog. Step the left foot forward in between the hands. Arms up alongside the ears. Right foot pointing or tucking, but it's very straight either way you look at it. They're very different, right? Tucking is more muscle. Pointing is less muscle, more extension. Let that front knee go as far forward as you want. Palms face each other, even maybe pinkies roll in a little more. Push in, use the feet. Press the feet down, draw the inner thighs in and hips into the legs into the hip sockets. Go forward at the same time as you reach up. Downward dog or hands and knees. Okay, step the right foot forward in between the hands. Place the back knee down. Bring the right forearm onto the right thigh. So the next thing, we're back to quad again. This is as much of a balance as a stretch, but this is sort of the deepest of these things we've gone to. Bend the left leg, reach for the left foot with the left hand, and it's again, if you can get the heel there, you can play with that rotation of the fingers in the direction of the toes. As the pelvis gets higher, that gets harder to find. Turn the left hip forward. The right knee can come forward. Now, wherever you get the heel in relation to the hip, keep it there as you go forward. Don't let the heel pull away. Try to take the right knee further forward and keep the left foot connected to the hip. Turn that left hip way forward. Pull the belly in and up. Hands and knees are downward dog. Second side, step the left foot forward in between the hands. Place the back knee, left forearm onto the left thigh. Bend the right leg. Reach for the right foot. Do whatever you did on the first side. Square the right hip to the front. Keep turning that right hip forward. Let the left knee go further forward, but the more as you go forward, you do not want the right heel or right foot moving away. Turn the hips to the front, pull the belly in and up. Hands and knees are downward dog. Child's pose. Okay, we're doing one more of that last one, then we're moving on. That last one, you can back up now and be done with all that and just do a low-legged lunge, you know, without even working the quad. Or you can do that same shape, which is what I'll talk us through, and you're going to bring the front arm up as well. So downward facing dog or hands and knees. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Put the back knee down. Start now if you want, just come into a lunge, but if you're going to keep playing, right forearm on the right thigh to start. Bend the left leg. Take hold of the left foot with the left hand. Find that same position. And now you're going to bring the right arm up and reach the right knee forward if you can. Turn the left hip forward if you can. In a way, you're pulling the right hip back and pull the heel and the front knee forward and reach up at the same time, turning the trunk to the front. Downward dog. Hands and knees if you'd like. Step the left foot forward. Place the back knee down. Start with the left forearm on the left thigh if you're doing that again. And if not, you can just bring the arms up for a lunge. Bending the back leg if that's where you're going. Taking the foot. Same wrist rotation you've been working with. Left arm up. Let the knee go past the ankle if it can. Keep pulling that back heel in as you go. Turn the trunk to the front, pull the belly in, and extend through that left arm. Downward dog. Move the blankets away. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Step the left to meet it. Inhale the arms up. Release the arms by your side. Okay, so we're going to try one thing. You know where you're going. We're going to show you the thing, what we're going to ultimately look for, but you would have had to have been able to get your hands to the floor the first time. It's forearms to the shin, maybe the hands to the floor. If you get the hands to the floor, you're going to flex the right foot and start right foot around the left arm. Then you're going to wiggle the left foot back, and it's all about the flexion of the foot. Maybe the left foot comes up. If that's happening and you keep your flex, the left foot goes back, right? So you're going to see where you go, but so much of this is about the right ankle. As you proceed, cross the right ankle over the left knee. It's easy. Right ankle over the left knee. Bend the left knee and bring the forearms towards the floor. If you get your hands to the floor, flex the right foot around the upper arm and use the left leg to push the right shin into the arms. You're going to need that. Then bend the elbow straight backwards and probably wiggle the left foot back a few inches. And then move forward towards Chaturanga and just see if the left foot comes up. Don't lift it up. Just transfer weight forward and maybe it comes up. Press into the left foot. Come on up to stand. And it's Ekapada Galavasana, flying crow. Left ankle over the right knee. I guarantee your two sides are going to be very different based on your hips, and you'll feel it in the flexion of the ankle. Left ankle over right knee, bend the right knee down. Hands, if they come to the floor, find that left ankle around the upper right arm and try to flex it and keep the flex, and you could feel the height of it on your arm. There are so many ways to feel the differences in your hips. If you can, wedge that arm, that shin up against the arms, wiggle the right foot back a little, elbows bend, hips lift, and it's a weight transfer more than a jump of the foot, and press into the inner foot to come back up to stand. Stand at the front of the mat. Breathe easy. Let's go to the wall. Bring your mats to the wall. Hanging in there?
Much better than I thought.
Right? I love it.
It's still crazy.
Well, it's all very linear, right? It's not a lot of crazy stuff. It's just, there's an endurance thing.
It's crazy that I haven't been here.
Come to the wall. Bring your mats perpendicular to the wall. Yeah, we can get three there. No problem. And then you're going to come onto your hands and knees with your feet up against the baseboard. L-shaped handstands. Because a class should never go by without L-shaped handstands. And if you've never done these before, just take a look and watch where we're going. Feet up against the baseboard, wrists underneath the shoulders. Julie, walk your hands further out. Middle fingers parallel. Pinky fingers in line with the outer edge of the palm. Do it. Walk your fingers just for the first one and see how it goes. Knees up. Knees up. Step one foot up the wall to the height of your hips, just like that. Step the other foot to meet it. Don't let the pinky go wide. It's amazing how much difference. Second foot up. Walk your feet up. Heels to the wall. Nice. Child's pose. It's odd, but you're going to walk your hands back a little more. It's going to be harder in one way, but it'll give you more, it'll make the angle more reasonable.
Okay.
Starting with your second foot, come on up again. Hands and knees. How did that go? Did the first one go all right?
Oh, yeah.
Great, great. Knees up, one foot up, second foot up. Straighten the arms. Now walk your feet down, down, down. Now stretch the leg. Yes. Does that start to make sense?
Yeah.
Just really hard, yeah? Hard is good. Pull the belly in. And pull the left side of your belly in. Nice. Child's pose. Turn your hands open a little. Totally relaxing the head, and you can look slightly towards your thumbs, just like in handstand. Though I tend to just not do that in these as much, but it's really helpful. Look towards your thumbs.
Thumbs?
Yeah. So if your lower back and your neck mirror each other in curve, so if you're up in this and you put a tiny curve into your neck, that helps the curve of your lower back. So it's just they work together. Last one, do it again or not, and jump up if things are going well. If this is feeling reasonably easy, bend your knees and jump your feet to the wall. Just don't hurt yourself. Nice. That was great. Go. Pull in the, now wherever you're at, you were right. But now pull in the belly. Push into my finger. That's it. And now keep that. I'm walking away, but don't lose that. Pull into the belly. Pull into the belly. Child's pose. The ability to do these L shapes, there's a lot of stuff going on. You need, you know, length in your hamstrings to stretch your legs. You need a lot of tone in the muscles around the shoulder blades so that the shoulder blades stay on your back in a nice way as you go deeper. So there is core involved, there's legs involved, but there's also a lot of shoulders. Come on up, turn around, and take downward facing dog with the fingers 5 inches away from the wall. Pinkies in line with the outer edge of the palm, so there's a straight line from the outer wrist through the tip of the finger. Move forward towards plank. Look at your thumbs, step 1 foot in a little bit. 1 foot in a little bit, so lift the hips up. 1 foot in just a little bit. Lift the other leg up halfway and hop towards a handstand. Look at your thumbs. Just look at your, don't worry about how high you get. Just look at your thumbs and hop an inch. Straighten the arms if you get up. Look at your thumbs and hop an inch. Nice and easy. Awesome. Go. Child's pose. That's all you want to do, right? Don't think about much more than that. Just think, can I get my up and down, up and down? Land in the same spot, maybe a half inch higher the next time, right? But don't worry about too high. Second leg. Use your second leg. And even if you can't get up with your second leg, which is actually nicely humbling if that's where you're at, second leg, step the other foot in, lift the leg up, and hop towards a handstand. There is no back bend in a handstand, so you're trying to figure out how to get up with a solid spine. Nice. Jump forward. Nice. Alicia, touch your head to the... Yeah. Nice. Child's pose. You're going to walk your hands back like there, just because it's going to give you more leverage to fly forward. Even though once you get up, you're not going to be too happy, right? Because it's actually like a back bend. Come on up. Last one. And use either leg or bend the knees and jump both feet if you like. Come on up. Or not. Child's pose is a beautiful place to be. Go. Nice. Yeah. Jump forward. Jump forward, yes. It's all about the willingness to put weight into your wrist, which can be very scary. I don't mind that, I actually like that. Once the first foot hits the wall, the second foot comes to meet it. Nice. Once you're up, you go up more. You press the hands down and lift the feet up. Bring the legs together like they are one leg and solidify and elevate. Come on down. Child's pose. Come on back to the middle of the room. Come to lay flat on your back. Put a block between your inner thighs and a block between your feet, wide between the feet. long between the inner thighs, wide between the feet, and and not too close to the groin so that you're really in the meat of the inner thigh muscle. So, wide between the feet, big toes touching the block, bend the knees, feet flat to the floor. So, bend the knees. Yeah, all the way. You're going to bring your feet flat. Yeah, one more. That was my bad instruction. Squeeze the block. Walk your feet back if you can so the ankles are under the knees or as close to there as possible. And a lot of this stuff, when you bring weight, right, when we're going to be here, we're going to do half wheel, and when you lift your hips up, if your ankles are very far forward of your knees, that's actually a lot of stress or strain or work. The more you can get your ankles under the knees, you're going to reduce the amount of tension and torque. So aligning the legs makes the muscle work easier. Tiny arch in the lower back, squeeze the block, lift your hips, and returning to that crease in the hips I was talking about earlier, keep the crease in the hips. So feel, stick your butt out, even if you need to a little bit, to deepen the groins and get the hip creases deeper. Walk your feet back again, more. Yep. Walk your feet back a bunch. No, the other way, other way. More, more. There we go. Deepen the groins, for me, means your abs kick in gently, and it helps you work the inner thighs against the block. If you want, right before we come down, if you want to tuck your pelvis or thrust your pelvis or lose the groins by thrusting up a little bit, you'll likely feel you lose the block, you lose the inner foot, and the core. You lose the things that I think we need for a back bend. Slowly lower down. Right? Sometimes, I'm going to turn this wide. Sometimes I don't say how to go up, and we just see if the tendency is to lift the hips up. So, second one, just go up to a bridge the way you would normally go up, which might be exactly the way I'm telling you, but lift your hips up into this pose and see what you would normally do to try to do it. And I think the tendency is there's too much thrust in the hip and too much gripping of the butt to make it happen. Now deepen the groins and find your way to the inner thighs. Relax your butt, which doesn't mean your butt's not working. It's working forward towards your heels instead of gripping up towards your throat. Squeeze the block. Keep the inner foot grounded down. Another couple of breaths. Easy breaths. And lower down. Last one, if you want to do full wheel, you can do full wheel, which is bringing the hands up alongside the ears to straighten the arms and legs. The thing about that is you have to be able to keep the feet from moving, and you got to keep connection to the block, which for some is really easy, and for some, not so easy at all. So if you're moving into full wheel, which you should know before we do it here, bring the hands up alongside the ears with the fingers pointing towards the heels, elbows bent up towards the ceiling, move the elbows as close to each other as possible, the wrists can be wider. Press into the hands and feet and slowly see if you want to come up, but the feet don't move. The groins stay deep. Turn the toes in, Julie. More. Toes in. Yeah. Inner thighs strong against the block. No thrust. It's got to be easy. And lower down. Take the blocks away. Drop your knees to the right. So that's exactly right for me. The odds are, if you didn't have the block, you could probably throw yourself up, right? Which I just don't think is great. So you have to, over time, you get to choose. But I just think that's it. Slowly but surely, you'll get up. Back up, knees over to the left. Breathe easy. Back up, left knee into the chest, right leg out straight. And you're going to twist. left leg across the right side of the body. You can take that the knee anywhere you want, right? Try to get it at least to the height of the hip as you twist over. But if you want, you can take that knee all the way down to the floor, which is, they're very different twists, right? If your knee is at the height of the hip and your knee is on the floor, they're radically different in the spine. Both are beautiful. Bring the left arm out to the side and up over the shoulder if you would like, and then you're adding the upper chest into the extension. Look over the left shoulder as you're pulling the left hip and shoulder away from each other. And this is a very nice way to soften the nervous system post-back bending, right? Twists harmonize the nervous system. Bring it back to neutral. Back up. Switch sides. Right knee into the chest, left leg out straight. And twist. Right knee across. Bring the knee to the same place you brought it on the first side. Even though it might be easy to go to the floor here and you might want to do that, I think it's a pretty good bet to balance your practice in general and not go where the loose side wants to go. Come on back up. Happy baby pose. Bend the knees into the chest. Take the outsides of the feet. Pull the knees towards the armpits and press up through the inner foot. Now you can roll the spine, you can round the spine, you can extend the spine. We're going to move into Shavasana after here, so if you feel the need to do anything else before we finish, by all means do so. You really want to end up in Shavasana in a place that feels good. So then as you're ready, when you're ready, stretch the legs out straight. Feet a few inches apart, hands pretty close to your hips, palms face up. Let everything release and relax. If you have back issues, you can always put a blanket under your knees, which releases the hamstrings. Over time, it's nice to get rid of that, but it helps. It's useful. Let everything release and relax.